G'day, gang, and welcome back to another episode of Upcoming Attractions. Today, we are going for an all-out Marvel extravaganza, talking She-Hulk and the Halloween special, Werewolf by Night. And joining me today is a very special guest who I'm excited to talk to, Carlos Freitas, who's a senior writer for Agents of Fandom and formerly of the Hey Do You Remember podcast. Carlos, my man, how are we doing today?
Man, I'm so glad we finally were able to do this, to schedule this and get together. Even though we're halfway across the world from each other.
It's awesome. Me and Carlos go way back online from my Midnight Double Feature days, and we just kept crossing paths, but it's our first time talking, so it feels the Avengers have assembled for this, man.
There it is.
It's great.
Yeah.
So let's kick things off with She-Hulk. Now, Carlos, through Agents of Fandom, you wrote an amazing article on She-Hulk before the finale happened, which I think is a real great setup, because I think the thing everyone wants to talk about when it comes to She-Hulk is the finale. So just to lead us up into there, like, tell us about this article you wrote and like what your mindset was going into this.
Yeah, sure. So I'm glad it posted before the finale because it made me look a little smarter. the article basically was about how She-Hulk, the real big bad of She-Hulk, the villain of the series, were the real life toxic dudes on Twitter and, you know, in the comments of every you know, forum, Reddit and everything. And basically, my article was just about how they've been there the whole time. Like, this show predicted everything they were going to say along the way, and even used some of the real life comments from even when they just announced the show was coming out. They took some of those comments out of Instagram and used them, reworked them, and put them in the show. So, like, yeah, they predicted what the fanboys were going to say, and I predicted that they were going to be the real villains. And then it ended up basically being exactly that. So,
yeah, it makes you wonder, like, were they inspired by the She-Hulk announcement, or were they just like, okay, this is how they're going to react because this is how that specific toxic part of the fandom react to most female superheroes? Like, Captain Marvel is a real great example. Now, I'm not here to call it a masterpiece by any means, because I remember saying when Captain Marvel came out, I said, you know what? It's one of the most average and middle-of-the-road Marvel films, and yes, that's a quality. It's not putting things up too high above anyone else. It's not putting it too below. This is what you get if you – yeah. So it's like you can't complain about – either end of the spectrum when it's that middle of the road, I feel. But the fanboys were going real in on that film. And it's like, I remember just thinking, like, it's a bit overkill, guys. Like, it's definitely not that. And yeah, I think She-Hulk did a great job at tackling this. Don't you think?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Down to the points where, you know, when Wong would show up in the show and Jen would look at the camera and say, well, that gives us some Twitter armor for the week because Wong was here. And it's like, it's exactly what it did. That's exactly how it worked. Yeah. You know, and when they would end an episode teasing Daredevil and then the next episode had no Daredevil whatsoever. And Jen is like, yeah, I know you're expecting something else, but this is a wedding episode because I said so. Like, it was perfect. Every step of the way, they knew exactly what the discourse was going to be online, and they were ready for it. The entire series was shifting around what they knew that the discourse was going to be from the toxic swath of the Marvel fandom.
Yeah, and they know also what they like and what they don't like. So they've actually used characters like Daredevil, I think, to sort of protect themselves along the way.
Yeah,
and find a balance, which I think was pretty interesting. Let's talk. We'll talk about Daredevil when we come to Daredevil. Let's keep on the finale though. Cause I've got to be honest, I'm still a little split on the execution of it.
Okay.
I still haven't fully formed my opinion, to be honest, because on one hand I'm like, okay, my experience watching it was crazy. And I feel like if you can get an emotional reaction out of me from anything on the spectrum, you're doing something right. And I was there with Jen when she's like, this can't be happening. Like, this episode's ended. And wait, where's this guy come from? And that, and the second Hulk came through the roof.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, like, what is going on? Because there's no way they've set up him going to Sakaar and possibly teasing World War Hulk or whatever, right, just to have him come out of nowhere. Like, this is really bad, like, blockbuster movie writing, which a lot of films do. But even I know, like, these writers are too smart to do that because they've been – the writing has been pretty smart throughout this whole show. And, like, what is happening? And then they finally break the fourth wall. It's on Disney Plus. And I'm here like, oh, this is a funny gag.
Yeah.
Then the gag continues. And I'm like, okay, it's getting long. Like, they got to get back to the episode, right? They got to get back to the big finale, fighting Abomination and Hulk and everybody. And it keeps going. And then she's looking for, they get to the writer's room, which I thought was kind of cool. They get to Kevin. and the receptionist, who apparently is a real receptionist at Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like they broke the fourth wall.
Right.
But like, it keeps going. I'm like, this can't be the episode, is it? This is not how you do a finale. And it keeps going. And then at one point I'm like, oh, this is the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was designed. Like, they wanted to take you on that journey of figuring all that out. But by the end of it, I'm kind of like, oh, it's funny the way they play with fan expectations.
Yeah.
They got me. I got to say, they got me. But part of me, there's a little part of me that's like disappointed, because it's like, you promised me a showdown between Hulk and Abomination, and you took that away from me. Just like you promised me a hallway fight with Daredevil, and then you took that away from me for a gag as well. So part of me feels a little betrayed, but I understand also, as a writer, you want to service the whole story. You want to service the character. So they did it with a wink. They kind of did it. It kind of felt a little mean-spirited almost. but I've got to say, sorry to wrap up this rant, because you can tell I'm still formulating appealing. What I will say is, for a show that has such strong feminine themes, it has massive balls. Like, it's one of the most ballsy projects, not in the MCU, but just like even in that episode, to do all that. And I really do appreciate seeing something unique and original and different. Even if I'm a little bit disappointed, I appreciate seeing something new.
Okay. So I can agree with that to an extent. Some of that, some of the execution wasn't perfect. But the concept, I think, is there. Throughout the series, whenever the superheroing would happen, I would get kind of bummed, because I was like, that wasn't – like, I was having a good time with Jen in court, with Jen going on dates, and then she gets, like, jumped by four guys. I was like, I mean, I get it. It's a superhero show. Like, yeah. I understand it's got to happen. That always kind of was the drag on the episode. And – when they got to the, I forget which episode, it's the wedding episode where Josh sends a text saying, I took her, basically the emoji say, I took her blood, essentially. I was there like,
super creepy thing to do. Yeah,
absolutely. But also, how did you take her blood? And so I was sitting there like, this, I don't understand how he did. How do you sneakily take someone's blood? So to me, it just felt like, bad writing. And Marvel, the not so well kept secret is, the Marvel Disney Plus shows haven't always been the best at writing. Like, they just, some of his stuff feels really rushed, and like, you're just going to have to go with this to get to the finale. And that's why it wasn't until Hulk that you were like, wait, this isn't believable anymore. Because every other, except for the Loki finale, every other MCU Disney Plus finale has been, and then all of the action figures get together and we crash them together, and you know, this one's punching that one, and now this one's going to be somewhere that it is impossible that they have gotten to in this, you know, like the Hawkeye finale is a perfect example. How did Kingpin get from point A to point B? Like things like that. How did Echo just like show up randomly and get to exactly where she needed to be? None of it makes sense, but it's all happening in such a rush and such a cacophony that you're going along with it, and it isn't until maybe after the episode that you're like, well, that didn't, none of that makes sense actually. And She-Hulk was the reason I wrote in my article, I fully expected them to MCU. I fully expected it to be like, and here's the leader, or here's whoever, whatever villain.
Yeah, same.
And I put that in the article. Whichever villain they give us, the real villain was these dude bros. And I was so happy to find out that no, actually the villain they're giving us was the dude bros. It was them. It was them all along. So I respect the breaking the fourth wall to get out of bad writing and going to the writers and being like, is this not maybe a derivative plot?
Yeah.
You know, I dug all of that. And then making the final case to Kevin that like not every story has to be world ending stakes. Not everything, you know, sometimes it can just be a personal story that is small in scale. Like I think, you know, going back through the MCU series, that's what kind of, if anything was wrong with Ms. Marvel, it was the stuff about the other realm and how that was going to destroy our realm. Like everything about the family and this, all of that was amazing. And then there was this like chunk that they almost felt like they were forced to put in there because comic books. And I think Jen saying that to Kevin, just being like, look, this isn't my story. My story isn't world ending stakes. It's this very small thing. I was totally on board for that.
It makes me think, there was a comment from Mark Ruffalo on like the red carpet for the premiere where he's like, there won't be an Avengers without She-Hulk. But like after seeing the finale, it's like, I kind of don't want to see She-Hulk in the Avengers because the whole point of the finale is I don't want to fight people all the time. It doesn't always have to be a big blue light coming from the sky. And maybe, I don't know, unless they have some big character moment for her or something. If they had her, you know, fighting Kang the Conqueror, it would feel like it would undo that finale. Yeah. I'm sure Marvel will do it anyways because action figures and whatever, but
right.
We'll see.
Yeah, we need the Avengers costume gen action figure, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the time heist costume.
Yeah. So I have a hot take. I have a hot take. I want to get your reaction, okay?
Okay.
So I think She-Hulk was great. But what stops it from being amazing is I have this spoilers for my thoughts on Werewolf of the Night as well, but I have this problem with Marvel right now where they keep promising us diving into new genres and they never fully commit. So She-Hulk is 50% workplace comedy, 50% superhero. Yeah. I wish it was like 90% workplace comedy and 10% superhero, because I think a lot of the complaints stem from expectations. The marketing was like, this is a superhero show. That big dramatic music, the first episode, which in my opinion might be the weakest episode, is a superhero origin story. So we don't meet like her coworkers and stuff really till episode two. And I feel like, and that's why they had to, so the finale, they're kind of like digging themselves out of this hole to be like, it doesn't always have to be like this. But if you set up from the start that it's not going to be like that, like it's just jokes, it's like Parks and Rec, but in a law office, I don't think they would even have to go through all that. Which I still like the finale, but like I wish it was even more comedy. Like all the stuff where it's like, here's the villain of the week or the client of the week, actually. They got some cameo or some Asgardian comes in and they've got to deal with that. Like that's when the show was at its strongest. So I actually wish the show was like way more that, and then we didn't have so many. Like I don't need to see She-Hulk fight a bunch of demon bats at Wong. I'm happy if she just defends him in court, you know?
Yeah, I wanted Harvey Birdman attorney at law with Jennifer Walter. That's what I wanted. Yes, that's what I was really hoping it would be. And for the most part, no, I guess for half the part, that is exactly what we got, right? We got Mr. Immortal and we got Wong a couple of times. And but
Leapfrog was great.
The superheroing just was not that it wasn't executed any better or worse than any other Marvel project. It just wasn't my favorite part of this series. And I think the problem that you're seeing that kind of where they say they're dipping into different genres, but really they're just kind of a couple of maybe winks or nods to different genres. And then they're saying, see, that was our blah, blah, blah genre. I think that's been there for a long time.
Yeah,
I think Marvel gets more credit than they deserve for breaking into other genres. I don't think that's necessarily as true as people think it is.
100%. Like, just off the top of my head, right? Ant-Man was meant to be a heist movie. It's like 30% a heist movie, the rest superhero film.
Right.
Probably the biggest culprit, I would say, Captain Marvel, they were billing as it's a love letter to 90s action films. It's like, no, like three scenes were like a love letter to like 90s action films. I would say Werewolf by Night, like this is our horror film. It's like, it's horror themed, but I'd say half of it feels like a superhero film. I do think though, like WandaVision was a faithful, you know, look at sitcoms, and I will say like Thor Ragnarok does feel more comedy than superheroes. So they're not always not, and you know, fair enough. Guardians of the Galaxy is, you could say it's a space opera. But a lot of the time, whenever Marvel promise us this is a completely different genre, like they've burnt me so many times, like, no, it's not. It's half of a different genre.
Right. They're all kind of action comedies, basically. All of them are basically action comedies.
Basically. That actually reminds you saying that reminds me of something that's really eye-opening. Back in my Midnight Double Feature days, I remember Zoheb and I were interviewing Roger Gosnell, who does like Scooby-Doo and Big Mama's House, bunch of films. And he said something that really opened my eyes. And he's like, oh, nowadays, because I kind of asked him, like, those type of films that you specialize in, there's not a lot of them nowadays. Like, what's going on? Like those sort of kids films. He goes, well, they're more like family films, right? And nowadays family films are Marvel films. It's what the mom and dad take their kids to go see. Because, you know, it's just, you know, the Mummy had action and comedy as well. So it's not completely new, but it just, ever since then, like I look at Marvel so differently. It's like, oh my God, like this is a family film. It's so when these fanboys are like, oh, you know, Moon Knight's going to come out. It's going to be so dark and gritty. It's going to be like Daredevil. I was sitting there, no, it's not. No, it's not.
And right.
It's going to have a couple extra shadows and that's it. It's still going to be PG-13, you know?
That's absolutely correct. Like anyone who thought Moon Knight was going to come out and be this brutal R-rated, hard R, you know, horror, I don't even know, like what it was, what people thought.
Yeah.
You know, what if Batman was rated R, like is kind of what I think people were expecting. And it was just never going to be that. It was, you just have to, like, we have to divorce ourselves from that expectation forever. Mm. It's never going to be that. I will say though, the thing that's given me hope has been watching Andor on Disney Plus. Man,
that's Star Wars actually trying to be different. It's trying to be mature, right?
That's Star Wars for grown-ups, and I'm really hoping that like Marvel will do that. And you know, the problem is that Marvel has to fit everything in so that you can believe that Moon Knight can hang out with Kamala Khan.
Yeah,
you know, like that's their big issue.
And that's always been my thing about the Venom films. I've been like, first of all, it was never going to be R. Even though the marketing, they tried to say, we'll make it R. Another thing is like, there's no way Kevin Feige wants Venom, Tom Hardy's Venom to fight Tom Holland, Spider-Man, because the quality of writing, the tone, the world building, it's on such a different level. It would actually bring the Spider-Man movies down as a result.
I actually, so what I think is with Venom, if they're ever going to bring that Venom into the MCU, it's almost got to be in a Deadpool story, because I think Ryan Reynolds and Tom Hardy would be like magic on screen together. I think it would be really like perfect. And you would just get to mess with it. And then maybe Venom jumps onto Deadpool for a second and we could see Ryan Reynolds do his Venom for, you know, for a bit. Like, I think that would be a lot of fun, but I could not see him like, you know, with, Captain Marvel or
yeah,
whoever.
I gotta disagree with you. I know we're way off topic, but I gotta disagree with you. I don't think Tom Hardy and Ryan Reynolds would be great, because I don't think Tom Hardy's great at comedy, for starters. And I think Deadpool works when he's with a straight man, like a serious type, like Josh Brolin or something.
And so, that's why Tom Hardy works, because Tom Hardy's a straight man.
But in the Venom movie, okay, Tom Hardy plays a great straight man, but in the Venom movies, he's not. I feel
that's
he's always like, what? Right. I feel like Tom Hardy, the actor, could be great with Ryan Reynolds, the actor.
Right.
But Tom Hardy's Venom would not be great. But we're so off topic, so I apologize. let's get back to She-Hulk. Let's talk about, I think the one that the fans love to talk about the most is Daredevil. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Daredevil in She-Hulk?
I should preface this by saying, like, I love Daredevil. That Daredevil corner of Marvel is my favorite corner. Kingpin is my favorite character in Marvel. And I dig the street level New York stuff. And I also am a huge fan of the Netflix series. It gets a little shaky in the second season, but the third season and the first season are like perfection to me.
Yeah, the third's my favorite too.
Yeah, the Kingpin in the third one, who is just like not even like a step ahead. He's like 12 steps ahead of everyone else and has put everything, like, that's the Kingpin.
So good.
God, so good. That all said, I love this iteration of Daredevil. I love the acrobatic, kind of almost swashbuckling, kind of fun Daredevil. I dig that take on the character as well. And I like that they've laid it in the groundwork that, hey, when you do see Daredevil, it's not going to be this Netflix Daredevil. It's going to be the one who can flip off buildings and who smiles every now and again. And, you know, like, it's, yeah, I on top of that, also when you see Kingpin again, because of his appearance in Hawkeye, it's going to be the Kingpin who can rip car doors off and, you know, who is just kind of like bigger than life. Even if he doesn't technically have superpowers, he is kind of a giant gorilla. So I like that they've laid that groundwork, and I am ready for, you know, Disney-fied, quote unquote, Daredevil, because I actually do like that take on the character as well.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it's also a lot of people, the people who do complain that he's joking, got to remember all the jokes he makes are him flirting with Jen.
Yeah.
That is not Daredevil trying to be intimidating. That's him, you know, flirting type thing. And he would flirt and he would have jokes in the Netflix series too. So I don't think it's actually out of character for him. That much. And seeing him like with some CGI doing the crazy flips and stuff. And I think, yeah, if you want to put him in the Avengers, you have to treat him like an Avenger.
Good point. Yeah. He can't just be like, and I box. It's like, yeah. Okay, well, but that's Thanos. See? So, yeah. So what else you got?
100%. So I do like, look, I do prefer the Netflix costume. I think the gold is a little, I don't know. I feel like with both him and Kingpin in Hawkeye, like they just wanted to give him different costumes to differentiate them. Maybe it's to sell merch or something. I don't know. Or it's a new skin in some Fortnite video game or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, when Born Again comes around, guys, we'll get the red suit. I feel confident in that. I feel like we'll get that.
Might even get the black suit.
Yeah.
We might get all of them. Never know.
It's just, we're not going to get a scene like Kingpin smashing someone's head in a car door again. We're not going to get anything that dark or violent.
No one's going to impale themselves on a fence so that they can't be, you know, their family won't get harmed. Yeah, that's not all. None of that's happening.
For sure. But I think at the end of the day, like, while the tone won't be 100% the same, I think Marvel is smart enough to, they'll find a middle ground. Mm-hmm. I think they'll try and find a middle ground. They'll have some callbacks. They'll do whatever. But it's going to be called – they're very smart with their titles. Born Again. It sounds like a reboot. Homecoming.
Homecoming. It's exactly
coming right. Home. Like, they're very smart.
I'm also for Daredevil, 19 episodes. Like, that's a long time to get into the highs and lows of, you know, of tone.
To be honest, part of me is worried it might be too much because the Netflix shows was, I think, 13, if I'm not mistaken, 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And all those Netflix Marvel shows, they all had the same problem, I think, where once you get to like around episode 9, this happens in almost every show, they either get injured or they lose their powers or something. And then for like one or two episodes, they're kind of just like sitting back while everyone else takes the spotlight. And then they come back in the finale like, I've got a new costume, I've got a new superpower, or I'm back. And it's kind of like, okay, this is getting formulaic. And once it gets to that point, it feels like it's being dragged. So I'm really scared 19 is going to be too much. I think the saving grace could be if they're not hour long, if they're half hour or 40 minutes, that might help with pacing. But I don't know. We'll see. Look, if something got like 19 episodes, I think She-Hulk would have been great for it. Because it's a workplace comedy. It's like a legal comedy. Like I think of like The Office. I think Parks and Rec. I think you know, all that. And you could have more cameos. You could have more characters. But what I got to say, dude, have you ever watched the show Powerless? DC's Powerless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was like a couple episodes that I watched. Yeah. And I don't know if it lasted too much longer than that.
Yeah, it got canceled after season one. But yeah. A lot of people forget Powerless, but She-Hulk is basically a better version of Powerless. It's a bunch, mostly normal guys. Like they're working in like research and development for like an insurance company or something in the DC universe. So like when
it's owned by Wayne Industries. And I think Alan Tudyk plays Bruce Wayne's cousin or something like that.
Bruce Wayne's cousin. And it's like, oh, the Joker released laughing gas. Oh, well, now I guess we have to create some sort of device that helps us protect ourselves from Joker gas. And a lot of those references. But that was a straight up comedy. That wasn't trying to be a superhero show.
Right.
I wanted She-Hulk to be a better version of that. And sometimes it got there. Sometimes it didn't. I liked the character Titania. Mm-hmm. I thought she was great.
She was great, but she felt kind of aimless. It's like, wait, why are you here? Like, I don't understand she just kept showing up and it just felt like, it felt like something that got lost.
To something and it didn't go there. Yeah.
To me, it felt like something that got lost when they, because the first episode, the origin story was supposed to be episode 8.
What?
They weren't going to give you her origin until episode 8.
Dude, I love that. Like that fixes some of my issues because like the expectation of it's a superhero show comes a little bit from having the first episode so superhero. So what, it was going to be like a flashback or something? Or
I guess so, yeah. Like, you know, like I think the whole idea that, you know how Bruce is like, Bruce tells her in the first episode something along the lines of, you know, once you rage out once, you'll always be a monster to them. That is supposed to come after she's been doxxed and slut shamed and whatnot.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but you were just supposed to start with Jen Walters, who can turn into a Hulk in court. And that's why the line in the first episode where she's like, I know you guys will be distracted the whole time if I don't tell you how I got this way, so let's just get it out of the way now. Like, so they're so
that's
they
them again predicting what's going to happen.
Exactly.
From fans. Okay.
But I do feel like the Titania of it all, because she just kind of like, why did she break into that courtroom? What happened there? Like, she just kind of feels like they just threw her in whenever they needed her to be there, but there was really almost never a reason for her to be there. And I feel like it's just something that got lost when they were shuffling all of the episodes around.
Maybe. I feel like, so I think she's in 3 or 4 episodes, but the whole episode where she's like suing for the trademark of She-Hulk, mm-hmm. love it. Great.
Yeah.
Really fun influencer jokes. You've got the whole like wink, wink nudge to like the She-Hulk and Hulk history. Mm-hmm. That's really great. But then like she comes back for the wedding and it kind of feels like she's being set up as this rival. So I'm here thinking, oh, she's going to be a big part of the finale. And she sort of shows up, but then nothing happens. But then it's like, so what was the point of her character? She's just a reoccurring character. Like, I feel like they were trying to go somewhere, but then they dropped that plot thread.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it might have been one of the things that got sacrificed for the fourth wall break of the finale.
Yeah.
Was because I felt, and maybe I'm just like a sucker for this kind of storyline, it felt like she was like a rival who at the end of the day is also a woman. And once she gets, you know, once Jen gets, you know, all her sexy info out there and like the revenge porn stuff, it felt like, oh, this is where she's going to come and she's going to help Jen. They're gonna realize.
Yeah.
And I thought that when she breaks into the barn, I was like, oh, this, okay. Oh, I see where it's going. And then, no, it could not have possibly predicted where it was going from that point.
I got to be honest, as cliche as it is, I would have loved it.
That's that's like my favorite. Yeah. That's my favorite type of like, you know, the Anchorman ending with Vince Vaughn. Like, I hate you, but God damn it, don't I respect you?
yes. I would have been on board for that.
And then Ron Burgundy says, "Brother, it's so good." That's what I was hoping for.
Oh, how good! How good! So you wanted her to be like She-Hulk, brother.
That would have been amazing.
No, that would have been great. Is there anything else you think that's worth highlighting or talking about, or anything that comes to mind about She-Hulk, Attorney at Law?
Yes. In terms of like the MCU of it, where we now Hulk has a son. That's big.
Yeah. That is big. And I feel like it was so shoved in there. Like, I get it. They're setting up, there's been rumors about a World War Hulk movie and they're setting up for the Hulk's narrative. I get it. But like, he's literally there for like one shot. And and it cut away so quickly. And it's like, you could have done this better, or you could have. I don't know. I wasn't happy. I'm not mad. I'm not going to write an angry letter, but I feel like it was a little bit like, okay, this is your contractual agreement of setting up something for the future, like all Marvel stuff.
I couldn't believe they got an actor for that. I was like, wait, someone acted in that scene? Like, there wasn't just like a completely CGI character. Like, someone was mo-capping that? That's insane.
Well, I'm actually a bit confused too with She-Hulk, because they had someone who was tall in that role, and did they just CGI Jen actor, forget her name, sorry. Did they just Tatiana put her face Maslany. Over? Yeah, that's it. But She-Hulk wasn't fully CG, was she?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, She-Hulk was fully CG, but this actress who was like a giant was there as like a reference. She was like the reference act. And I think, that's from what I can make of it, because I've seen images of Tatiana Maslany in the mocap suit with, you know how they wear that, like the contraption that goes up like behind their neck to show like, this is where my head would be. you know, like Josh Brolin did for Thanos. I think, I've seen images of Tatiana Maslany in that suit. So,
yeah, I
it
saw
does appear that that's fully, right.
That got a laugh out of me.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the Scar, I think Scar, the reveal should have been, that should have been the post credits reveal.
Yeah.
Instead of something that got shoehorned into the final scene. And I think that there was a better, like there was an easier way to show that Emil is no longer in prison.
And I don't think we needed to see that at all, really. You could have just shown him somewhere else in another movie or whatever.
I mean, honestly, all you needed was the empty cell with the wormhole closing. You'd be like, oh, he's in Kamertage. Got it. That's all. So now Kamertage has Wong and America Chavez and Emil Blonsky. So
yeah,
they got some interesting going on there.
I feel like having Wong and Abomination, that, first of all, that's a combination I never thought I would see in my years of reading Marvel comics and stuff. But that, first of all, we didn't need that in Shang-Chi.
Like, sure.
I'm seeing that now. And now I'm also thinking, like, what's the point of this? And having him escape, like, I feel like this is damaging to Wong's character a little bit.
Because he's breaking people out of prison.
Yeah, and he was the Sorcerer Supreme, and I don't know. I want in Doctor Strange 3 or whatever, I want this to go somewhere of value.
I think it's way more likely that they broke Emil out of prison so that Emil can be in the Thunderbolt movie.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's where that's going.
Okay. And then in the Thunderbolt movie, they'll be like, oh, well, how'd you get this guy? Well, Wong helped us out. We called in a favor to Wong. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I see.
Sure.
That.
Yeah.
There we go. Spoilers for a movie that'll come out in like 5 years. I don't know. I kind of don't want to talk about it, but I just feel like we have to mention it. The Megan Thee Stallion twerking scene. First of all, when people got mad on the internet about that, that really upset me, because I'm like, guys, this is when I see her and she's like dropping it low and stuff, I'm like, that's what my girlfriend looks like when she goes out clubbing, you know? Mm-hmm. And we have some drinks and stuff, you know, dropping it low and stuff. It's like, she's a woman having fun. This is what women do when they have fun. She Hulk for the reason, you know? She's allowed to be a woman, guys. So just calm the fuck down.
I mean, if I was in the presence of Miss Thee Stallion, I would probably also be twerking because if Megan Thee Stallion's like, hey, would you like to twerk with me? I'd be like, sure, I would love to, Megan Thee Stallion.
I would not say no.
Right. I couldn't. What would my fans think? Like, no, yeah, you just do it. When in Rome.
That's right. When in Rome, when in a law office, Megan Thee Stallion, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was a fun cameo. I enjoyed that.
Madison with two N's and a Y and two N's, but it's not where you think. Is that what it?
No, yes, N, yeah.
Yeah, whatever yeah. it was.
She's still so many, show.
I think she's my favorite Marvel character in the MCU. I want to see the continuing adventures of Madison and Wong. I want to see them recap like Gilmore Girls. I want all of it.
Yes, she will. Like, she's coming back. She's like, who was the guy who was in Ray Park's character? Jimmy Woo? Is that
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see more of him too. Like, when the fans latch onto someone like that. And a great example is Wong. Wong was like another side character, but fans really took to him. And now, like, Wong has been in more movies than I think some of the Avengers. I think Wong has been in more movies. Yeah, I think Wong's had more appearances than freaking War Machine now, you know?
I mean, I think it's getting close to like, it's pretty much him and Samuel L. Jackson at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, far out. That's so funny.
I love what they've done with Wong, though, because Wong in the comics is basically like, kind of like, I mean, it's come a long way since, but he's basically Alfred.
Yeah.
He's Doctor Strange's like manservant. Literally, that's his title. And I dig that, like, no. In the MCU, he's actually the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
Quite the promotion.
I love that. I love that too. And I think it's also smart writing, because if you keep Doctor Strange as a Sorcerer Supreme, well, then there's no authority for him to rebel against. There's no where for him to go or to progress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it's good to keep him down. I think the explanation of, well, you were gone during the snap, like, that's a great reason for him to,
it's great.
To lose it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're pretty much ready to wrap up on She-Hulk and move on. But I will say, is there any last comments, thoughts, anything?
No, I think it's I think it was a good series. I don't think it was by any stretch of the imagination, was it, you know, breaking records or what does The Rock say, like changing the hierarchy of the MCU or whatever. I don't think it's doing anything like that, but I do think it was a good series, and I'm glad that there was a series that was able to turn the stakes down, because we need to be able to tell all of the different stories in the Marvel universe.
Yeah. I'm hoping for a season two, and I just want it to dive a little bit more into the comedy and the workplace stuff. Maybe a little less fight scenes, a little more cameos, that'd be really cool. It doesn't, actually, when I say cameos, it doesn't have to be characters. It could be like, you know, it could be Leapfrog, or some random offshoot from one comic that appeared back in the 1800s, you know. I'm okay with that stuff. Yep. I had fun with it. And I think when it comes to the comedy writing, maybe some of the funniest jokes we've seen yet, at least from the TV shows. But that's not saying much, because as much as I love Miss Marvel, there were some cringe jokes in that show, I would say. The comedy was not the strong suit of that show. But anyways, let's move on. Let's talk about one more Marvel, I don't know, would you call it a show? It's a movie. They call it a special. Let's talk about special presentation, Werewolf by Night from Marvel. So this was a bit of a weird one going into it, but I'm also surprised there doesn't seem to be a lot of discourse about this. Usually when a Marvel project I feel like the I Am Groot show got a lot more conversation, and even if the conversation was, what the fuck is this, you know? are you getting the same vibe? Like, a lot less people are talking about this?
I would agree with that in the, yeah, generally. I don't think a ton of people, it kind of came and went. That said, the chats that I'm in, like the Agents of Fandom chat, we have a lot of horror fans who were very psyched about this, and a few of them got lucky bastards, got screeners of it early, so they were able to watch it. And they're like, guys, this is so good. So I have been a little more, you know, into the saturated discourse of it, but on my Twitter timelines and things like that, it kind of came and went.
So I want to ask you this. Why do you think that is? Because I, the only thing I can think of is it seems to be marketed a little less than some of the shows, but I'm just really baffled. I guess you could say the same about Andor as well, though, but.
I think that's two different things, though. I think Andor got a lot of, you know, got the requisite amount of marketing. I don't think Werewolf by Night got a ton of marketing. Like, people didn't even know if it was coming out or not. You know, we had heard about it. We had heard, you know, Gael Garcia Bernal was going to be in it. We had heard, you know, kind of rumors, and then nothing, no production photos. Like, we didn't know what anything was going to look like. We didn't know it was going to be in black and white until, I can't remember if it was Comic-Con or D23, but either way, you're talking about 2 months before. Like, there was nothing. So there wasn't a lot of time to get or to be hyped about it. And therefore, there was no hype for it. Like, I think that's – it's not the same as when you don't release your Thor trailer until whatever it was, 60 days before Thor comes out. Because we are all familiar with Thor and that universe and everything. With this, it was a completely new character. It was a completely new – I mean, it – a completely new vibe for at least for Marvel. And it was a new type of production. We've never seen a special presentation. So it was just a lot of things that we weren't familiar with. And therefore I think the discourse was just kind of like, I don't really know what to do with this, even though I liked it. You know, I personally loved it, but what do you do with it? I don't know how it connects to anything else. I don't even know when it's set. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about this.
It makes you wonder, like, would have been more successful if they just added an extra, because it was like, what, nine, it's not even, it's like 50 minutes, right? Something like that.
I think that's why it's a special presentation, because it's like, it's not even an hour long, yeah.
But they could have added an extra, like, 20, 30 minutes to it and called it a film. It's not like Disney don't have the money for that. But I'm thinking maybe because it's in black and white, they thought modern audiences wouldn't appreciate it, maybe.
Sure.
It's really bizarre. Because it's a Marvel film, it's an introduction of a new hero in a way, and also, come on, we got Man Thing.
Yeah, right, exactly. And he's kind of Chewbacca. Like, it's pretty great.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
But
I'm all for it. I actually love it. But yeah, I'm just really surprised about the lack of conversation about it. Andor, I get that there's not much conversation about it because. I hate to say it, but like by doing a more mature story, it means, you know, there's less Easter eggs, less cameos, less flashy stuff. And that's the stuff that people on Twitter want to talk about.
Right.
But Werewolf has that stuff. You got the Bloodstone, you got Man Thing, you get the Werewolf, you get all these other characters and stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty surprised. But let's get into our overall thoughts. So what are your general thoughts? How do you feel about Werewolf by Night? Sounds like you like it.
I mean, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I haven't been able to watch it a second time, but I watched it. I woke up early. It was still dark out. And I was like, okay, this is perfect. I'll watch it in the dark. And I really enjoyed it. I loved the at this point, I've kind of had low-key Marvel burnout for a couple years, even though I love the characters and I generally enjoy the projects. It's like, yeah, it's not – I'm still chasing that high and it's kind of not, it's diminishing returns. So when something is new, I will gravitate. And this was new. And I thought the music was great. I thought, Michael Giacchino is directing your movie. It's going to be good music. I thought there were some really interesting concepts, like even just like the guy with the flaming sousaphone walking through. It was, that's awesome. What is this? And I'm excited to see how it connects because I do like that they've kind of opened up now the supernatural corner of Marvel. Like, it's not all aliens and stuff. Like, there's going to be just some legit occult monsters, and I'm down with that.
Yeah. Like, overall, I guess I liked it as well. So like what I said with She-Hulk, a little bit disappointed at, like, they didn't fully commit to the horror. Mm-hmm. Like, my girlfriend's not a Marvel fan. She's not, she prefers more realistic stuff, but I hyped her up on this one because it's like, it's a horror. And then, so we start off and she's like, okay, this seems cool. And then they start doing Kung Fu and she's like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm like, damn it. Like, I thought I had one to convert her. Yeah. And yeah, so they got real into, like, very early on, they were like, no, this is still Marvel. This is still very superhero. It just got a horror aesthetic. It's like a retro horror aesthetic.
Right.
Like, the sets look like sets for the most part, but I'm kind of down with that because it's true to the style. Mm-hmm. I believe it's shot in digital. I wish it was film, but it's okay.
I think for the same reason that it's only 50 minutes long and not a feature length, like, yeah. I think Marvel wasn't really sure how successful this thing was going to be. And so it's like, okay, keep it short, put it in black and white because it'll make it look more expensive. And people will also forgive when, you know, the werewolf is a man in a costume.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it'll be like, oh yeah, it's all kind of part of it. I'm actually really interested to see what this werewolf looks like in, you know, in Moon Knight season 2 or something. Yeah. What does he look like when you're in a CGI fest? Is he still, there's no way he's going to look like a man in a werewolf costume.
Well, I think maybe we don't see him at all.
You don't think ever?
I mean, interesting. Like, never say never. I think it's more like we're going to see Man-Thing. Sure. Let me just check. So when it goes from black and white to color, is that meant to symbolize we're now in modern times, or is that just saying, like, oh, we're happy now, there's nothing to be scared of?
I think that when they go to color, the way I saw it was like, and here was our isolated story and we're back in the Marvel universe. Like,
right.
You know, like this was that corner, but this corner is part of this universe. I think that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, like, I feel like you're right. It's going to look like a guy in a suit, and they need to, I don't know. Are they just going to add some extra hair follicles via CGI? I don't know. It's going to be weird. And I think maybe he doesn't cross over with the mainstream Avengers. It might just be like Moon Knight or maybe Blade if we're lucky. Or
anywhere where there's a lot of shadows.
Yes.
I think here's a good shot. Speaking of the shadows,
I expect him hanging out with Miss Marvel. No way.
No. Speaking of the shadows, like, I think that whole, like, the gardens with the random walls and the the way the shadow play in that, I was in heaven. And like that one shot where the door is closing slowly in the background, and oh man. And just the shadow of the wolf, like, so good. That was all, like, I couldn't believe Michael Giacchino has not directed a feature before. Like, because that looked very competent. Very, very competent.
Well, look, I feel like being in the industry for so long, that's, you know, you pick up a few things along the way, I'm sure. Like, music is very, I guess, tied to things like editing and stuff too. So. It's his directorial debut, right? Like,
he's done a few, like, short stuff.
This is crazy.
Yeah. He's done some short projects, but this is by far the biggest thing he's ever done.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I'm sorry. I'm just distracted now because I keep thinking now, what does werewolf look like outside of black and white? And it's like, I've got no answer for you. I feel like usually I would have some sort of take, but I'm just like, I don't know how you solve this problem. That's why I'm sort of thinking maybe you don't do anything. Maybe the specials stay special. But then we've got the Christmas special coming up with Guardians of the Galaxy, and apparently that's going to affect Volume 3. So,
oh, interesting. Oh, wait. Okay.
Oh, wait. Maybe I'm – no, I think I read that somewhere. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see very soon.
I'm excited for the specials because I think that there's a lot of stories that they have to – not that they have to tell, that I would like them to tell, that don't necessarily fit into a Disney Plus series or a giant tentpole feature. Like, I think that we could be getting into, like, there's a whole lore about the White Tigers, this like Puerto Rican family from New York that has these tiger. I can't even think of what the word is now, but they like can become superheroes. And it's like it's the guy and his, I think it's his daughter and his sister. They're all White Tigers. And that's okay. Never going to, you're never going to get that in the MCU unless there's maybe a special. Like, I like the idea of these special presentations.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking 10 years from now, another 10 years, if Marvel's still around, if the superheroes come out of fashion, which will happen one day, like rom-coms
it has to.
Die. Yeah. Rom-coms died. Cowboy films died. One day superhero movies will move on. It'll be, I don't know. Who knows? Cyberpunk will be the new cool thing or who knows what, you know? But if we are 10 years down, like, they're going to have to start digging real deep to get some characters. Because right now we're about to get Namor in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And I think that's the last superhero I read as a comic that I haven't really seen in live action. Like sure, there's some villains here and there, some small ones. But I used to love Namor. I had a bunch of Namor comics.
Really?
I did. I had a bunch. They're all like secondhand ones that were from like the 80s or something. And I had two separate ones where he fought the Human Torch, but I loved Namor. I don't know why. Like, when I think of it back on it now, it's like, it was so corny. But for some reason, I had a lot of Namor comics for some reason.
I could never get around his eyebrows. I was like, I can't look at this.
I look back on it now. Like, how was I so into it? He had weird eyebrows. He had wings on his feet. He was so corny, but like somehow I got into him pretty hard. And I was really into Vision as well. So like, when I saw him in Age of Ultron, my mind blew.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. And then White Vision too, and WandaVision.
Apparently White Vision, maybe it's speculation. I can't remember if it's confirmed or not, but some people think he's going to come back in Armor Wars, which could be.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. I know we keep getting off topic, but yeah, Werewolf by Night, it's such a weird project. It's a good one, but it just stands out. I think a lot of people look at it, and it's so different from what the MCU's done. The MCU fans looking at it like, what do we do with this? I can't come up with crazy theories for TikTok and whatever. But I think you got to say the cast is fantastic, right?
Oh yeah, I was kind of skeptical about Gael Garcia Bernal. I'm a fan, but I can't point to like the one thing where I'm like, oh, this could not have been the same without Gael. And I think that he was great. And actually the unexpected Han Chewie energy of Jack and Man-Thing, I was like, I want to see this. I want to see more of their continuing adventures through the occult.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yes.
The Han Chewie, that's a really good analogy, the Han Chewie vibes. Laura Donnelly as Elsa Bloodstone.
Mm-hmm.
I could watch her all day. She was fantastic. Yeah, so charismatic, right?
Did you notice that she, like the first guy, she when she takes down like the big guy with the, I don't forget what
with
kind
the
of
beard?
Weapon he had.
The one with the beard?
Yeah, the one with the beard. Yeah. The one who looked like a Viking. She takes him down with the classic Natasha Romanoff, like wrap your legs around, pull down. I was like, oh, is she maybe a widow? Was she like is she from the Red Room?
No, I think there's just some contractual agreement that all female superheroes must wrap their legs around your head. I'm pretty sure that's the moment my girlfriend was like, all right, I'm done. See ya. Like, she's like, she's turning into Jackie Chan. I thought this was a horror movie, Matt. I'm like, I'm sorry. They said it was going to be horror.
I would love to see Jen Walters trying to do the leg takedown and she just like can't. She's like, I don't get it. I don't know how to do this.
I feel like it would be a scene like Black Widow and what's her name? Yelena
Belova.
Yelena. Yeah, Yelena. I was going to call you Yolandi. Yelena, like, where it's like, you know, when she's doing the power pose, like, why'd you do that? It hurts your back. I think it'd just be like She-Hulk and Black Widow or someone being like, okay, just wrap your legs around your head. She's like, oh, no, I haven't stretched.
Or, right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, my leg's too tall. I'll just kick his head off.
Yeah, if it was like She-Hulk in a Deadpool movie, she would just take the guy's head off. Be like, I didn't mean to do that. I just meant to bring him down.
I love that. Werewolf by Night, fun film. Love the score as well. The cinematography is really unique. I love the They did commit to like the retro cheesiness, which I think WandaVision also did well. And I think that's – and oh, yeah, I loved the use of practical effects and practical stuff. Like apparently Man-Thing was partially practical. I don't think the face was, but in the final shot, there's some production photo of like a Man-Thing costume.
That's awesome.
And the guy. And I was like, what? That blew my mind. I think like they said it was practical, but it's like I'm looking at that face, like that is CGI. Like
it could have been stuff that was like it could have been stuff that was enhanced by CGI, you know?
Yeah, like I'm thinking it's like a Deadpool thing where like it was a real mask, but they like animated eyes on him and stuff.
Right, right.
But yeah, man, look, this is fun. Let me ask you this. Next, you're Kevin Feige, you're running Marvel. Congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So here's my question to you. If you're Kevin and you're running Marvel and you get to decide what the next project is, what is the next Halloween special? Is it another Werewolf by Night? Do you dive into another character? Is there anything that comes to you?
The next Halloween special would be Ghost Rider. It would definitely be something Ghost Rider. Yeah. And I would even do
that's Johnny, a big one.
I would do Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider, but he would be kind of the mentor to Robbie Reyes. And I would do like a comics accurate 16, 17 year old Robbie Reyes, not the grown man that was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That would be the next thing I would do for Halloween for sure.
That's cool. Okay. I like that. I like that. It also, I feel like, because Ghost Rider's already had movies.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why they were happy to give him to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I feel like, yeah, if he doesn't get a movie, he's got to get – I can't imagine Ghost Rider working as a TV show. So I think a special could be a good compromise. That could be cool.
I could see a Ghost Rider TV show like in the classic, like almost like the old 70s Hulk where he just rides from town to town, you know, like case of the week kind of thing. Kind of supernatural, but with Ghost Rider.
I'd watch that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
sounds cool. I would count me in. I'd be in.
Yeah. You just reminded me when we talked about She-Hulk, we didn't mention how awesome that recreation of like the Hulk TV show intro.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good.
I was so happy watching that.
I loved that show. Like they used to run it on the Sci-Fi Network here and they would have like marathons. I've probably seen every episode of The Incredible Hulk and that show was off the air before I was born. So.
Wow. Yeah. I had a VHS of Hulk versus Thor, the made for TV movie they did. Mm-hmm. And I think I had, that was it. Yeah. So I never knew there was a show, but I knew there was a movie, but later on in life found out, oh, there's also one with Daredevil and
the first appearance of Daredevil. Yeah. And live
action. Did they have another movie as well? Is there a third one?
Ooh, you're putting me on the spot. I don't know off the top of my head.
I can't remember.
Yeah, neither can I.
It's cool. I'm trying to think now because I asked you that Halloween question without having an answer. And I'm just trying to think now. I think maybe I would do – man, if they had the rights, I would say do like a cheesy retro Morbius. But like, just to take Morbius back a little bit. But then again, I said even before the movie came out, it's like doing a solo movie of Morbius is dumb. And I had a friend going, but he's got his own comics. I'm like, and I'm guessing they were shit because no one talks about him.
Right. Those classic ongoing comics of Morbius. No one reads those. No.
Everybody loves Morbius. No, but I think maybe I would do also you know what I'd love? If you're keeping the retro sort of old school, give us another take on Hulk where Hulk is like Frankenstein, like the original Gray Hulk or something. That could be interesting because I'd love to see – I know Hulk is now known as the angry monster and everything, but he was originally very Frankensteinish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that could be an interesting project. And then, I mean, we're going to get Mephisto eventually, right?
The rumor is Sacha Baron Cohen.
I did see that. What film was that for? It was for a weird pick, right?
It's for it might be Ironheart.
And yeah, that's what it was. I don't think
because Ironheart has a lot of magic stuff going on in it for some reason.
Oh, does she?
Ironheart for some, like, because, you know, Ironheart's not a magical character. It's basically Iron Man, but.
Well, that's why I'm surprised hearing this.
Yeah, the series is going to have Anthony Ramos from Hamilton is going to be the Hood, who is basically like street thug meets Doctor Strange, kind of, you know, like.
Yeah, he has guns, right?
He has guns, but he also has like Kamertage style magic.
What?
Yeah.
So he's like teleporting, shooting people.
Right. Like the image of him is like, you know, hit with this hood on and his two guns, but also the guns have those kind of, you know, those like rune shields that. Yeah, he can do that. So.
Dude, that is so like 90s over the top edginess, yes. Where it's like, he's got magic, but he also has guns.
Just in case the magic doesn't work, he's hacking. Yeah.
So that's very, overkill.
Very, very Todd McFarlane. Very,
yes. You know, yeah. Very Todd McFarlane.
Very Todd McFarlane.
Okay. Well, I think it's time to wrap things up. Is there any other thoughts, comments, anything before we close the book on Werewolf by Night?
No, just to say thank you for having me finally. We'll go back to chatting normally like we do. And also, yeah, just to check out agentsoffandom.com. I've got that She-Hulk article. We've got reviews for Werewolf by Night. We also, like, I reviewed the movie Rosalind for Hulu and the Predator movie I got to review. So it's a pretty cool site. We're just starting out. We're in our first year, but we're doing some pretty big interviews. We interviewed the guys on the podcast interviewed the woman who did the voice for Rogue on the X-Men animated series.
I saw you posting that. That's pretty cool.
She is incredible. She's kind of a real life superhero. So, and now she's a friend of ours. Like she's a friend of the podcast and the friend of the site. So yeah, check out agentsoffandom.com is what I would leave you with.
That's awesome. And keep up the great work there. I can tell you're having fun with it, man. And
thank you.
And I know, How Do You Remember? It was a podcast that was loved by so many people. I remember when it wrapped up, mutual friend of ours, Patrick from his podcast too, was, I was seeing him posting about it and stuff. And so I was like, oh, it's really nice to see how you guys impacted the lives of so many people and stuff like that. It was really awesome. So I'm glad to see you still in the movie space, my man.
Oh yeah, man. I couldn't not be here. This is what, you know, I've got ADD. My brain needs serotonin at all times. This is where I get it. I get it from movies and comics.
Hell yeah. Well, anyways, I think that's it for us today. Thanks once again to Carlos for joining us. I'm so happy. We're going to have you back like ASAP, I'm sure.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll make it happen. And for everybody at home, be sure to keep checking out upcoming attractions. I know some people find us different places. So, and we just sort of changed up the format a bit. So in case you guys need a refresher, audio version of the podcast, iTunes and Spotify, just like normal. But on YouTube, they are now cut up into more targeted segments. So while you're hearing this as the audio form on YouTube, there'll be a She-Hulk episode and a Werewolf by Night episode. And I know where most of you guys are at, though. You're on our TikTok yelling at me in the comments, telling me I'm wrong about stuff. and I love it. Bring on the beef, man. I love it. But also bring on the love. We absolutely love you guys there. And also for the people too lazy on TikTok, we used to be selective putting on Instagram, but nowadays everything's gone to Instagram. So be sure to check us out there. Anyways, that's it for us today. I'm Matt, that's Carlos. Thank you so much for joining us at Upcoming Attractions. And until next time, laters.